Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Come with me to Isaiah chapter 5. We'll start in verse 1. We continue this series on seeing and being God's hero. And the hero in focus is none other than this productive, amazing man, the prophet Isaiah. He was an extremely fruitful follower of the Lord. May I also help you to find this piece of paper entitled, Like Isaiah, Make Your Life God's Garden. And that will be our focus of chapter 5. We'll come to it in a minute. Let me observe with you that God likes gardens. God likes gardens. He started out the human family in a garden, the Garden of Eden. And if he would do that, it also tells me that he loves gardens. At the very end of the Bible and of Revelation 22, what we have is this: God returning humanity to his garden. And it's a picture of the throne of Christ with the living water flowing underneath it. It's a picture of the tree of life and the tree of life that has the leaves to heal the nations. So that's what we have in the Bible, a picture of the metaphor that God loves gardens. So if you'll come with me to understand a little story that has a bit of a parable feeling to it, I believe this will illustrate my point that one day, God the gardener will inspect the fruit of our garden. This is the story of Ling and the emperor. The setting is a long time ago in the Far East. The emperor had grown old, and it was time for him to choose his successor. Now, normally, an emperor would choose his successor from one of his assistants or from one of his children, but this emperor decided to do something different. He ordered all of the children who were at special schools sponsored by the emperor to come to his palace. And when they all arrived at the palace, he said that he was going to select one of them to be the future emperor. He decided that the test for them as future emperor would be to give each child a seed, a special seed. And he gave them the assignment to go and grow that seed. And in 1 year and 12 months, they would all return and they would show the emperor what they had grown. Well, the kids took these seeds, and one of those children named Ling was so excited, he ran back home and he showed the seed to his mother, and they quickly planted the seed in a pot. They watered it. Every morning he would awaken and he would see if anything had sprouted and grown in the seed. After just a few weeks, other children were comparing notes, and some said that their plants were growing beautifully, and they bragged that their plants were putting on leaves and even some fruit. But Ling was greatly disappointed because his seed seemed to be doing nothing. He feared that somehow he had killed his seed. Well, 5 months went by, 6 months, seven, and then finally a year had flown by, and they reassembled in the emperor's palace. Everyone was so excited. Everyone except Ling, because he was bringing an empty pot. He was embarrassed. He sat in the back. Oh, he was amazed at the variety of plants the other children had grown. They were beautiful. They were of different shapes and sizes. But Ling's pot was empty. Some of them mocked him. They felt sorry for him. They said, "You're not a very good gardener, are you? Maybe you'll have better luck next time." Finally, the emperor walked into the room. He went about inspecting every one of the children's plants. And finally, he noticed in the back Ling and his empty pot. The emperor said, "What is your name, my son?" Bowing before the emperor, he respectfully replied, "My name is Ling." Then, to the surprise of everyone in the room, especially Ling, the elderly emperor announced loudly to the crowd, "Behold, your new emperor, and his name is Ling." Everyone was shocked. The emperor proceeded to explain that he had chosen Ling as the new emperor. He said, "Some of you have mocked him for his empty pot, but his empty pot is a good thing. Because you see, the seed that I gave each one of you a year ago had been boiled. In other words, it could not possibly grow anything." Obviously, when you found out that the seed I gave you would not grow, you unfairly substituted it for other seeds, hoping that you might impress me and you would become the emperor. Only Ling had the courage and honesty to bring me a pot containing the seed that I gave him. Therefore, today, I choose him to be the new emperor. Now, that story can teach us a lot about integrity and honesty, but here's what I want you to take away from that story. That story tells me that one day, someday, there will come a time when the King of Kings inspects you. The Bible says one day, someday, sooner than we think, that we will stand before the Lord. And when we stand before Him, His blazing eyes will gaze upon the productivity of our lives. And He will reward us, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, He will reward us for the fruit that we've produced. If we've made silver, gold, and precious stones, He'll reward us for that. But if the fruit of our hands would be wood, hay, and stubble, He will judge us for that. So friends, what I want to share with you is extremely important today. Let me share it by asking you a question. Would you make this note? Is your spiritual garden flourishing or floundering? Is your spiritual garden flourishing or floundering? You see, that is what Jesus desires. He wants our spiritual gardens to be fruitful because we're rooted in Him. Would you read with me on your worksheet out loud that boxed statement? It's the centerpiece of the teaching of Jesus Christ. Read it with me from John 15:5. Let's read it together. "I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Now, my friends, I've discovered that the key to production is connection. Jesus said, if you abide in me, if you are connected to me, then you will produce much fruit. And that's God's goal. He wants you to produce the fruit of a transformed character. On the inside, you should have Christ-like character. And on the outside, you should have Christ-like conduct. That is the goal of God. We'll pick up this metaphor of agriculture, horticulture, and the garden in Isaiah chapter 5. Come with me to Isaiah 5. Let's begin here at verse 1. "Let me sing now for my well-beloved a song of my beloved concerning his vineyard. My well-beloved had a vineyard on a fertile hill. He dug it all around. He removed its stones and planted it with the most choice vines. He built a tower in the middle of it. And he hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to produce good grapes, but instead it produced sour or worthless ones. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there for me to do with my vineyard that I have not done it? Why then would I not expect it to produce good grapes, but it produced instead worthless ones? So now let me tell you what I'm going to do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it will be consumed. I will break down its walls, and it will become trampled ground. I will lay it waste. It will not be pruned or hoed, but briars and thorns will come up. I will also charge the clouds not to rain upon it." Now listen to verse 7. "For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. And the men of Judah, his delightful plant. He looked for justice, but behold, instead he found bloodshed. He looked for righteousness, but instead he found the cry of the distressed." Come with me now to verse 20. And here is the pronouncement of God. Now understand who Isaiah is. Isaiah is a prophet representing the voice of God. He spoke for 50 years to the land of Judah His headquarters was Jerusalem. He was speaking prophetically on behalf of the God of Israel, our God. And listen to his indictment. He says in verse 20, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes in drinking wine and valiant men in mixing strong drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away the rights of the one who are in the right. Therefore, as a tongue of fire consumes stubble and dry grass collapses into the flame, so their root will become like rot and their blossom will blow away as dust. Why? Listen to this. Listen to verse 24. Because they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel." Let's pray. Father, help us. Help us to right now hear and to heed your word as thundering forth from heaven's throne through the voice of Isaiah the prophet. Father, I pray that right now you would get me out of the way and your spirit would take your living seed, the word, and deposit it into every receptive heart. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, please make with me four observations. If you want to produce on the limbs of your life Christ-like character and conduct, let's begin here. Let's start with the seed. Starting with the seed. On a parallel agricultural note, Jesus told a parable about the sower and the seed, and I'm sure you remember it. The Bible tells us in Luke 8, verse 5, that the sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds devoured it. I would imagine the scene was something like this. Jesus was teaching, and he would always teach with stories that people could understand. And Jesus, no doubt, had a large crowd and kind of like children in front of you. He would use an object lesson. And his object lesson this time perhaps was a foolish man over in the distance sowing seed. Now, I call him foolish because he should have been listening to Jesus. Instead, he was doing a little farm work. So here's this foolish man. He is over there broadcasting seed. They didn't have tractors, so he would have a bag slung over his shoulder. The bag was filled with seeds, probably wheat, and he would reach down into the bag and he would fling out some seeds. And he would reach down as he moved along and he would fling out some more seeds. And some of those seeds fell in different places. So Jesus grabbed that opportunity of the sower of the seed to explain a very important spiritual principle. He said, essentially, I am the sower. Jesus is the sower. The seed, he says, is the word of God. And then it hits upon different types of soils. Some of the soils are like the ground. They've been walked upon, they're trampled hard, and they have no receptivity to the seed. Some of the soils are filled with rocks or weeds, but some of the soil, it's broken up. It is receptive to the seed, and it will produce fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. You see, this is God's goal. He wants you to know that the sower and the seed are the same, but the variable is the soil. So let me ask you a very important question. What type of dirt are you? Is your heart receptive to the word of God? Is your heart broken up and soft and supple? And when you hear the word of God with a sense of humility and faith, do you receive it as the word of God? And let that word penetrate down into your spirit. Let it germinate and then produce the fruit of a transformed character and transformed conduct. You see, God has done his part. He has sent us our Savior. He has sent us the seed of his word. And so our job is to prepare the soil, is to cultivate the soil, to take out that which is of rock, to pull up that which is of weeds, to break the soil down into softness so that we can receive the truth of God's transforming word. Well, let's go to the next step. The next step required to produce Christ-like character is number two, subtracting the weeds. Please make that note. After you start with the seed, then you subtract the weeds. Now, every gardener knows that weeds are competitors. So when you want to go out and grow great flowers or grow great fruit, what do? You've got to battle the weeds. Oh, sometimes we put on the weed and feed in the yard to help it grow. And if you're a gardener, you go out there and you'll look at the weeds. And in my yard, I do better at weeds than grass. I don't know what the deal is, but maybe you're the same way. I'm always in a battle with weeds. When I was a kid, my mother was a famed gardener. My mother had a green thumb. I truly believe she could take a broomstick, break it off in the ground, and make it root and produce fruit. It was amazing. She could just make anything grow. So she had about a quarter acre garden. And oh, I so wished I would have had a humble, receptive spirit as a kid. But instead, I resented that garden because in the Texas heat, she would make us all go out and work. I mean, the five kids, she said, you know what? If you want to eat from the garden, you're going to go work in the garden. So we would all troop out there, and what would we do? We would do battle with the weeds. And we would throw out those rocks, and we would pull up weeds, and it was a hard job because we had something called Johnson grass. And Johnson grass would grow like crazy, and it had a serrated edge. And if you didn't have some pretty tough hands or gloves on, I mean, it would cut you. So we were out there pulling the weeds, and it was hard work. And I wasn't paying attention. I didn't appreciate it. But the reason we had to pull those weeds is this. They competed with the fruit. So any good gardener will take out the competition. Those weeds will take that vital nutrient that's going to produce fruit, and it will rob the fruit of it. So that's why we pull weeds. Listen to what Jesus said was a weed. Look at your worksheet, Luke 8, verse 15. He explains it. The seed that fell among the thorns, or the weeds, stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked. The weeds choke them out. They're competitors. They're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. And they do not mature. Well, let me ask an obvious question. In your spirit, are you growing a crop of weeds? Are there competitors that have displaced Christ from the throne of your life? Are there weeds? Let me give you some examples. Maybe you have an attitude that's really a noxious weed that competes with the Spirit of Jesus and the fruit of His Spirit. Maybe your prevailing attitude is entitlement and anger. When you don't get your way, when you don't get what you think you deserve, you get real huffy and hot-headed and angry about it. I can assure you, anger is not a fruit of the Spirit. Patience is. Love is, joy is, not anger, not the opposites. Let me ask you this. What about activities in your life? Are there some activities in your life that essentially are noxious weeds? Maybe you're flirting with some things that have the power to addict you and to eventually hurt you and rob you of your capacity to produce great spiritual fruit. Well, let me put you on the alert. That is a competitive weed. So a weed can be an attitude, it can be an activity, it can be an associate, it can be a person. The Bible says, and if you look again to your worksheet, it tells us in Psalm 1, verse 1, blessed is the man who subtracts. Listen to this. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of the sinner, or sit in the seat of the mockers. This is a picture. If you want to be godly and blessed, it starts with subtracting negative influences, negative people who would pull you away from the things of God. So let me ask you, do you have any people who are functioning as weeds in your life? They are competitors, and they are pulling you away from the things of the Lord. Tell you a personal story. I had a really terrific young friend that became part of this church, baptized him. He did what I told him to do. I said, if you want to grow, you need to get in God's Word, get with God's people. If you want to grow, you got to show. That's one of my little sayings. If you want to grow, you got to show. He started showing up for everything. Man, he started showing up for church. And I think sometimes he came to the 8:30 and the 11 o'clock service. started showing up for Sunday school and Bible studies. He started showing up on Wednesday nights, Sunday nights when the stars come out. I mean, he was showing up for everything. And then this girl showed back up in his life. And you should have just gone ahead and named her Jezebel. I mean, this girl, she is straight out of hell in my book. I mean, this girl, she's good looking now. And she had been in a relationship with him earlier, and somehow she just stuck the hook back in. And instead of bringing her to church and letting the Lord get a hold of her life, he began to stray. He began to pull away from the things of God. And before long, I wasn't seeing him much, and when I called him, I found out that he had moved in with her. You see, our sexuality is a powerful narcotic. They were living together, and he just faded. The Bible says it like this: a dog has the capacity to return to its vomit. That's not a compliment, by the way. You see, we have that capacity, friends, if we allow negative influences, attitudes, activities, even people to pull us away from the things of God. Proverbs 13:20 puts it like this: those who walk with the wise grow wise. That's why it's so wise to come to church and become connected to people who have a hot heart for the Lord. But friends, those who are companions of fools will suffer harm. So mark it down. If you've got weeds competing for the supremacy of the Lordship of Christ in your life, pull them out by the roots. Let's go to number three. After subtracting the weeds, strengthening with the feed. Strengthening with the feed. You see, it says in Psalm 1 also, beginning in verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Essentially, he is saying here that you feed God's Spirit in your spirit with the Word of God. Do you know what the Word of God is for me? It's like Miracle-Gro. Now, I'm not a great gardener, but I have learned to use Miracle-Gro. This stuff really works. And what Miracle-Gro is to a plant, to a flower, God's Word is to my spirit. You see, I've learned that I need a dose of God's Word every day. That's the key to growing into the image of Christ. It is His Word. So what about you? Are you a student of His Word? Are you learning His truth? Are you unleashing it in your life every day and allowing the miracle grow of God's Word to transform you into the character and the conduct of Jesus Christ? If not, why not? Start it today. Go ahead and say, Lord, I'm signing up today. I'm going to be a student of Your living Word. I'm going to allow Your Word to get deep into my heart and spirit and penetrate it like a seed, and that seed is going to germinate, and it's going to produce the fruit of Christlikeness. Now, here's the main problem with so many Christ followers. They are biblically illiterate. They are starved for nourishment and nutrition, but it's a self-starvation program because you can get all the Word that you want. You see, friends, if you are not introducing God's Word to your spirit, you will grow weak and vulnerable. Remember what Jesus did in Matthew chapter 4. Here he was fasting for 40 days and nights. He was weak. He was vulnerable. Who showed up? The deceiver did, the devil himself. But how did Jesus defeat him? With three strokes of the sword of the Word from Deuteronomy. And he sliced Satan to pieces. And you have that same capacity. You've got to be strengthened with the feed of God's Word. Well, lastly, let's finish off here. Number four, you see, here's the last process of cultivation. It has to do also with inspection. It's sprouting Christ-like creeds and deeds. Sprouting Christ-like creeds and deeds. Every gardener goes out to inspect what they're growing. You go out to see if the flowers are blooming, if there is fruit on the end of the vine. And when Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 5, said God went to inspect the fruit, what did he find? Did he find luscious produce? No, he found sour, sorry grapes. And this tells me that one day, someday, the Lord is going to inspect the fruit that you're producing, that I'm producing. The Bible tells us that with clarity. Here's the goal of God. It's in Galatians 5. He wants us to produce on the limbs of our life the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And when you've got the root, you'll have the fruit. But don't play the game of self-deception. You see, God knows what you're producing. And I would urge you to check yourself before you wreck yourself. Oh, I would urge you to self-inspect and see what you're producing. You see, the Scripture tells us that if you've got this real connection and you've had consistent cultivation, you will produce the character and the conduct of Jesus Christ. Now, let me quickly say, I'm nobody's judge. I'm not your judge. The Lord is the judge. I'm in communications, not management. So I'm just here to tell you the truth of the gospel. You can do with it as you want, but I am not blind. And I can inspect fruit. And when people come to me and they say that, hey, look at my life. I'm a peach tree. Well, let me look at the limbs of your life. Are you producing peaches or persimmons? Do you know what a persimmon is? It's a little knotty, sour, sorry fruit. It's not a peach. It's a persimmon. So don't engage in self-deception. You see, if you are rooted to Christ, you will produce the fruit of His Spirit, which is not sour grapes, which is not weeds. Instead, you will produce the fruit of His character and His conduct. Let's ask God to help us. Oh, Father, we thank You that You desire to be our vine, so we can be connected to You as a little branch. Lord, would You help us to stop playing games and fooling ourselves? Would You help us, Father, to see ourselves through Your eyes? And even today, even right now, make connections to You and then make corrections for You. Corrections that will lead us to be stable, productive, and fruitful, bringing honor to You, so that one day when we stand before You, we will hear Your well done. I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.